Stay tuned for Bubba Neart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with an excerpt from this week's sermon.
In Luke chapter 8, Jesus and his disciples launch out on a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee, this large lake in northern Israel. And a storm arose while he slept, and the men in the boat feared that they would die, and they woke him up, and he saved them. This story is reminiscent of one that's embedded within the Hebrew Scriptures about a man named Jonah. The prophet Jonah was on a ship, and a mighty tempest arose so that the ship was about to be broken up, and the men on the ship were afraid, but Jonah had laid down and was fast asleep. So they awoke him and asking him to ask God, ask your God for help so that we won't perish. And Jonah, you know what he did? He offered himself as a sacrifice to appease the wrath of God so that they would be saved. And then the sea ceased its raging, and a sacrifice was offered to the Lord, as we read in the book of Jonah. And then Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of a great fish, and then arose from that experience and went on to preach the message of salvation to Nineveh. 3 days and three nights. You know, the Bible uses that time frame on various occasions, depicting rather dramatic events. And when we look back, we could see that God was laying out, in addition to these direct and specific prophecies, God was laying out this extraordinary and unforgettable background, a context in which we could understand Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of prophecy, of history, of all of mankind's existence. Our history makes sense in Jesus Christ. Apart from him, no one can understand history. Jesus was 3 days and nights swallowed not by a great fish, but by death itself. And he preached the message of salvation and arose forevermore to bring life not just to those in Nineveh, but to all the world, whomever would trust in him. And by Jonah's willingness to offer himself as a sacrifice for them, the men in the boat were saved from the wrath of God, which had come upon them because of disobedience. Thus, in the story of Jonah, we find not a direct prophecy of Christ. No. The story of Jonah contains no specific prophecy, other than the one that did not come true, the one that said in 40 days Nineveh would be destroyed. But God, being a merciful God, took their repentance into account and did not do that which he said he would do and did not destroy them. But other than that prophecy, the book of Jonah doesn't contain direct specific prophecies of the Messiah. But the story prefigures Jesus Christ. And if that happened once, one dramatic story somewhere in the Old Testament had specific parallels, not just to the details, but to the central purpose and mission of Jesus Christ. If it happened once, we'd say, well, that's probably a coincidence. But when it happens in every book in the Old Testament throughout Scripture, that Jesus Christ becomes the key to understand all of the Bible, then we realize we have something more than the creation of human authors.
This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church inviting you to visit us at denverbiblechurch.com. That's on the web, or this Sunday in person at 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. So looking forward to meeting you in person, or you could email us. For now, stay tuned to Bob Enyart Live.
One warning, and there's truth above.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And it is Friday night, Arnold Free Radio here at Bob Inyart Live. Want to welcome everyone. And I can give the number right off the bat if people wanted to call in.
Yeah, hi, Dad.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing great. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be back. I'm so sorry I missed last week, Bob. I'm so sorry.
You got to work, you know.
You got to work, unfortunately. Yeah, I had a secret mission to feed my family. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those deals.
What is our phone number?
The phone number is 800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART if you wanted to call and participate in the program. And, Bob, the reason I wanted to come in, I was so bummed about missing last Friday, was because, you know, I had the stories, seven Americans killed, and I wanted to go into that.
Where was that one? That was in Baghdad?
Actually, this was in Columbus, Ohio, and Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh.
That on this particular day last week, there might have been one soldier killed in Baghdad. Mm. I can't remember exactly, but I remember the numbers were way out of whack. There were a lot more Americans killed in America than in Baghdad that day. Mm-hmm. And the media doesn't keep up a constant drumbeat of the slaughter and the murder that's going on in America every day.
Yeah, there are thousands of people murdered every year in this country. I mean, I think we peaked during the 90s at around 23 to 24,000.
Right.
If you don't count abortion.
Well, yeah.
Another million, 1.3 million or so.
Right. Then it boggles the mind.
Yeah. But over 10,000 murders every year, that many people becoming murderers. Obviously, our system is – we've got the worst criminal justice system in the world.
Yeah. Something's – for the best system in the world, it's
pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. If this is the best we've got.
The best paid lawyers.
Yeah.
The most highly
– Yeah, they do quite well.
Most well-paid lawyers.
Yeah, they do quite well.
That's what that means, the best system in the world when the lawyers say that.
I think it's usually the lawyers who say that.
Yeah.
And the people who win the lawsuits that the lawyers – Yeah. Those people say
it. And they're talking about their paychecks.
Right.
And whenever – you know, I don't like it when conservatives go to court and they win, which happens occasionally.
Yeah.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And the conservative's interviewed, and the reporter puts the microphone in his face, and he says, just like he's a puppet, he says, see, the system works. The system doesn't work. It's broken. And whenever I win in court, which happens once in a while, and the reporters come to me and they ask this stupid question, they say, so, was it a victory? They always ask that question also. And I say, no, it wasn't a victory. It was a random event in a mindless system.
There you go.
That's what it was. It's not a victory. It was an accident.
Yeah.
But most conservatives, I don't know. I guess they're not there.
Well, I'm finding out that most conservatives just aren't really that conservative anymore.
That's our knack, bringing the liberal out of the conservative.
That's right. That's what we do here. We're here to help.
The poor conservative listeners out in the audience.
Yeah.
You know, they think they're conservative. They tune into a good conservative show and they get mad at every other story.
Yeah.
You know what brought out a lot of anger last week? I debated a guy from Colorado Springs, Kevin, about jobs and jobs going to Mexico.
Yeah.
And I was saying, look, I don't begrudge Mexicans hard work and a good living.
No.
And if they can make microwaves cheaper than Americans, then that's fine. Let them do it. You know, are we going to subsidize blacksmiths because they have a right to work? We're still going to have blacksmiths? What are we going to put horseshoes on our cars?
Yeah, the Mexicans can free us up to do more profitable and beneficial things, hopefully, eventually.
Yeah, that's right.
But a lot of people will be displaced, and it is a little bit uncomfortable.
It's difficult.
You know, I read a study about how many IT workers are out of work, and it's in the tens of thousands that are getting laid off, left and right. But just think of all those brainy, intelligent, educated people.
The computer guys.
Yeah, the computer type guys. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are smart guys.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're all out there, and some of them are going to do something on their own that may end up bigger than AT&T, bigger than IBM.
Whenever I've worked with people, and if they've got laid off or whatever reason, they're out of their job.
Yeah.
I've always said to them, "You're the lucky one. We are like in a life sentence. We're right. still here.
We're trapped.
You're free. You could go do something better.
Yeah.
Use your brain. Work hard. Be smart and do better."
Yeah, and there's a lot of brain power out there that's been laid off from everywhere from IT to the textile industry.
But, you know, this victim mentality.
Yeah.
Which is liberalism, which seeps even into conservatives, that we're really all losers who need to be taken care of by the government or by our boss. And if my boss won't take care of me, well, probably I'm going to start crying.
800-836-9278, 1-800-8-NYART is the number to call if you want to participate in the program. 800-836-9278, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Now, Bob, we got a story. The alleged sniper case. You remember the alleged sniper?
You mean
the sniper case?
You mean the one
the
who confessed?
Well.
The alleged sniper.
I'm just reading the headlines. It says the alleged sniper.
By an alleged journalist?
Yeah.
Who put that story out? An alleged guy
from UPI.
Oh, an alleged objective journalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So the alleged sniper, this is either the one who confessed or it might be the other one that they have all that physical evidence against.
Right.
One of the two.
Right.
Well, attorneys, they filed papers. The attorneys filed papers asking the judge to declare capital punishment unconstitutional. Not just in this case either. Mm. Obviously, they want it for this case, right?
Yeah, but generally.
Generally. They say the death penalty should not be applied in this case or any other because of numerous flaws. Flaws, they say.
Yeah.
And now you just got through saying that the justice system is full of flaws. So
yeah,
are you saying
sure
that
is.
These guys have a point here?
No. Killing them swiftly would help eliminate one of the flaws.
Okay.
So
now they probably hadn't looked at it from that perspective.
No,
but that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, right.
This is one of the flaws.
And you know, it cracks me up when they say things like unconstitutional and all.
Yeah, yeah.
The Constitution itself, if I recall,
yeah,
talks about killing people.
Yeah,
right. Doesn't it talk about killing people?
The Constitution.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, Bob, I haven't dusted off my copy of the Constitution in quite some time,
well,
and I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not sure if it talks about killing people.
Well, I got to remember,
but
you know.
But it very well may.
But I got to remember, but I think it says something about you cannot deprive someone of life or limb without due process.
Oh, the life or limb thing.
Yeah, right.
I would say that implies that the government, under certain conditions, would have the right to deprive someone of life, limb, or property.
Yeah, as long as you have due process.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they're saying that there's no due process.
Well, they're saying that there are flaws. Their argument against the death penalty, Bob, is they say that it is state-sanctioned murder.
Oh.
Murder, they call it.
Hey, Amendment 5, no person shall be deprived of life or property without due process of law.
All right.
There we go. So kill him.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here. You're listening to a live commercial break. And, by the way, this is listener-supported radio. So, and since you are listening to it, you qualify.
That's right. You qualify to support the program.
If you like it. If you don't like it, you don't. Of course, we don't even want you to support it.
But not that we wouldn't cash your check, but you're not obligated.
No.
Right.
And we won't even ask you. But for those of you who like Bob Inyart Live, like the fact that we take the biblical message and apply it to our life today, to controversies that are in each day's newspaper, helping us think through how do we understand the controversies that are out there today. The death penalty. Well, we're Christians. Should we forgive? Yeah. We're not even supposed to judge. We're supposed to be nice.
Hold on now. Wait a minute now.
Well, anyway, that's what some listener might think. And we're on here on the air saying, kill him. He's guilty. Kill him. And, you know, in Christian love and all. Kill him.
Yeah, but Bob, the program makes the Bible relevant to today.
And so we need your support to stay on the air. So help.
You're invited to tune in to Bob Inyart Live weeknights at 7 right here on KLTT. Bob Inyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, hosts a conservative talk radio news show. It's fun. Hear the O'Reilly O'Reilly segments. Explore the real difference between right and left wingers. And learn why liberals call for peace while conservatives fight for freedom. So stay tuned to AM 670 KLTT and listen to Bob Inyart Live weeknights at 7.
Welcome back. Bob and you're live, 1-800-836-9278. Doug, I'd like to – we mentioned the Constitution.
Yeah, Bob,
I'd like
that,
to
say, the way you brought that up and was able to pull out that quote, I was very impressed.
No, it's just a, you know, a constitutional thing.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say something about the Constitution.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Bob. Let's alienate some more conservatives. Go ahead.
Now, wait a minute. makes you think that alienate more conservatives?
I've had discussions with you about the Constitution in the past.
Oh.
Back when I thought I was conservative, and I was alienated for a little while.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, anyway, why don't we take a call? Then when we come back, I want to point out something that conservatives have not, I think, considered, and that's that the Constitution is unconstitutional.
Oh, great.
We always freak out whenever the liberals want to do something like welfare, we say it's unconstitutional.
I hear that all the time.
And that's true. It is.
Yeah.
But the Constitution is unconstitutional.
Constitution is unconstitutional.
We had a Constitution before the Constitution.
Oh, yeah?
And if we were just now, let's say the liberals were to throw out the current Constitution and come up with a new one.
Yeah.
The conservatives would freak out, and they'd say, that's unconstitutional.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Well, we had a constitution. It was a perpetual union, and it established, it laid out the rules by which you could amend or change our first constitution, and we just blew it all off and made up a new constitution.
Well, I must have fallen asleep at that segment in the history and government class.
Well, it was our Articles of Confederation.
Well, now I heard about those, but I was taught to worship at the altar of the Constitution.
November 15th, 1777. It was our perpetual union, Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union. And they described, we could talk about, you know, which article said how you can change the articles.
Really?
And we didn't do that. We just blew it off and came up with a new Constitution.
We violated the first Constitution.
The Constitution is completely unconstitutional.
All right. We're going to have to explore that in some depth. Yeah. That's for sure.
And that was in 1777. When was Independence Day?
1776.
Yeah, July 4th.
4th of July.
1776,
yeah.
A day that will live in infamy ever since we started going to the abortionist house.
Yeah.
In Denver on July 4th.
That's right. It was the 4th of July.
I mean, it was a great day up until then.
Well, infamous for some.
Yeah. Well, it still is a great day.
Yeah.
But we go to the abortionist home every July 4th.
Right.
Planned Parenthood guy.
As many holidays as we can manage.
Yeah. 8 holidays a year, actually. But anyway, let's take a call, and then we'll go.
We'll get back to
the Constitution.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now let's go to Colorado Springs. Helen, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hi,
how are you? How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I want to apologize not for calling yesterday.
Well, that's all right. We had the call screener said you might call, so welcome to the show. Doesn't matter.
We had a church visitation, unexpected.
Well, Helen, you don't need to feel like you have to apologize. This is open to anyone or no one.
Right.
Whenever.
And I want to say that Nathaniel is a very polite young man.
Well, yeah, he is a great guy.
He's pretty cool. He'll be quite a catch for some young lady out there.
And hello to Doug.
Helen.
Hello.
And whoever that young lady is,
yeah,
Doug,
yeah.
Nathaniel will be marrying up.
Oh, no doubt about it, yeah.
Because that's the way guys do it.
Yeah.
Guys marry up.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
We all do it. But Helen, go ahead.
Yeah.
Basically, about the Christian conservative liberals.
Yes.
Like Focus on the Family.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
We just had a heart attack when you mentioned Focus on the Family, but go ahead.
Yeah, I almost had a heart attack myself the other day.
Why? What happened?
Well, we are really trying hard. Like I told you before, my husband don't have a college degree, and we're a family, and Pizza Hut will not feed a family or clothe us.
You mean working at Pizza Hut?
Right, working at Pizza Hut 24/7 even.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been really trying and reaching out, and we have a couple things that may work out as far as jobs.
So you guys are struggling.
Yeah, we are. The landlord is, you know, had it, and I understand it's his house.
Yeah, of course. You guys are behind in the rent.
Exactly.
Ouch.
That's
bad.
Basically, I have 2 weeks to homelessness.
Oh, no. And, now, Helen.
Husband. Hello.
Helen, let's get back to your story in a moment, but
okay.
I don't understand why you mentioned Focus on the Family.
Oh, do you want me to continue with that?
You can't just leave that hanging out there, Helen.
Yeah, I mean, we can't, you know.
Okay, well, Focus on the Family, kind of, you know, the name kind of says it all. I think they need a new name.
Why?
Because they're supposed to be conservatives, and in my book, conservatives don't believe in welfare. And I figure, well, I'll give it a shot. They're in town. I've got a family. Maybe they'll focus on me.
Yeah.
So I call. I go through 50 extensions.
Yeah.
I get the Christian psychologist.
Yeah.
Who is supposed to counsel me. I tell him the whole spiel. At the end of it, he's honest enough to say that he's not going to give me easy answers or a Band-Aid,
right,
which I don't want.
Right.
But he says the best thing that I can tell you to do is to call Ecumenical Services or the Lutheran something, which is a number I recall that was given to me by a lawyer that's connected with social workers, of course, because they all are when families fall apart. But the Ecumenical Services is right on my welfare sheet here that I have for all the places that I can call, you know, right next to, like, the Red Cross shelter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I ain't calling these people.
Okay, but now he didn't give you the name of a welfare program. He didn't tell you. He gave you the name of two private organizations, right?
That are on the list that a social worker has given me.
Yeah, but that's that doesn't mean he told you about a government welfare program, which I would hope he wouldn't.
No, but they will tell me that.
You mean the numbers he gave you?
The numbers he gave you. I didn't need the numbers.
Well, but you mean they would refer you to welfare?
Yes, I really believe that they would.
Well, there's a good chance that they would.
There's a good chance that they would.
There's a good chance.
Absolutely.
You know what? I don't like the fact that crisis pregnancy centers constantly, probably all of them, refer women to welfare, social services.
Yeah, they do.
You know, that's a mess. But anyway.
And I cannot risk calling them because I know they will take my children. I know they will. As soon as they find out that, you know, if I say I'm going homeless, my husband is caring for me and my daughter, who is mentally retarded because my wife is, I also have a obsessive compulsive disorder, and I, you know, I hang tough, but my husband, you know, he helps me with her, and I, you know, I have a friend next door who said if you're emotionally ill, they're quicker to take your kids away than if you're physically ill.
Well, and you said you're not inclined to call for welfare anyway.
No.
So those are different issues. But Helen, let me tell you, you've violated a rule that I have.
Okay.
If I ask someone for help,
right,
and they don't give it to me,
right,
I never, ever, ever criticize them regarding anything closely resembling my request.
Right.
Because when I'm asking people for help, I'm asking for the handout or for the help. And if they don't help me, well, I'm the one who's in a mess. I'm the one who caused my current disaster that I'm experiencing. So I wouldn't criticize Focus on the Family at all in context of they didn't give me the help I was asking for. They gave me these useless private organizations.
Right. I can say that, you know, he told me that if I had to stay at the Red Cross, it would be better than staying outside. And I do know people that stayed at the Red Cross, and they all directed them to social services. So I can, you know.
Well, I know that, but I don't think you just got my point.
I think I got your point, and I apologize for prejudging there.
Well, even if my point is, even if they did something wrong,
right?
When I go to ask someone for help and they basically don't help me,
right?
I recognize that I'm not in a position to criticize them.
Right.
I could criticize them in another circumstance.
Right.
But and it's taking that kind of personal responsibility, even at that level, that enables us to think clearly and have our minds renewed so that we can get our lives together.
Right.
So anyway, let's get back.
I'm sorry. I can't condemn them. There is just a hint of.
Okay, well, let's put that behind us.
Okay.
And so you are in a mess. Your whole family's in a mess. It looks like you might be homeless real soon for a couple weeks. And
right.
Why and for a couple weeks? Do you have something coming after that?
No, I mean, in 2 weeks from now, I will have to move out of this house.
Oh, and so you guys need a job and an inexpensive place to stay while
right.
you get back on your feet?
Right. And my husband also, he got a job
mm-hmm.
that he walked out of after 2 days because mm-hmm. he refuses to be a crook. And it was a mortgage company. And come to find out that they just want to push the paperwork, and then at the end, the people don't qualify for the loan or what have you.
All right. Well, we don't have time for all the details.
I'm sorry.
Really. That's okay. I keep getting on your case, but so
okay.
I thought I heard somebody was working at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Oh,
are you guys
about Pizza Hut?
Hey, I knew a guy, and this has to be 5 or 6 years ago. 19-year-old guy made $400 a week part time delivering pizza.
$400 a week.
$400 a week.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he worked some ridiculous late hours, and he did it.
And Doug, I remember when I had two full time jobs. I worked with a plumber during the day, and a full time security job at night, like midnight to 8 a.m. And the plumber let me meet him on the job site around 8:30, quarter to nine. And normally with the plumber, you're supposed to get done at 5, usually 6, sometimes 7 or 8.
Okay, now you can't keep something like that up for too long.
No, but when your family's in trouble, you can do that for 3 months or 6 months or a year.
My husband would do that.
Well, those kind of hard jobs are available.
Right.
You know,
he
security
just came
guards,
home today after,
yeah.
you know, he's got had a day labor job today. So
yeah,
that was
that's
just
great.
For one day.
All right,
but
Helen,
it's food.
Helen, we're about out of time, but let me tell you this. If anybody out there in Colorado Springs knows of good hard work, of a job opening, or of an inexpensive place to stay. How many kids you have?
Two.
Two kids. Then they could call us, and we'll put you in touch with them, all right?
I would truly appreciate that.
Yeah, if, you know, we don't know if that'll happen, but we'll make that offer. I want to thank you for calling. And anybody in the Springs or in that area wants to help out with a job or a place to rent, give us a call. Bob Inyard here. Howdy to those of you listening on the internet. The first minute of this spot is only for those on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And then the KLTT audience joins us.
So can we do offbeat things during this commercial break that we might not do?
We could be a little weird.
Other times?
Like, for example, there's this little from theologyonline.com.
Yeah.
The shout box on the front page.
Yeah.
You could go on and post whatever you want. And it's buried in some forum, or you could post in the shout box.
The shout box.
And it's right on the front page.
Yeah.
And I just happened to print out a few shouts about Zaketh when he went missing.
Oh, yeah. Zaketh.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that later in the show. That's not a commercial.
For now, call 800-8-N-YARD and order some things.
Now, that's a commercial, Doug. That's a commercial when we let people know
that's what
that
it's all about.
Bob and Yart Live stays on the air through the support of our listeners.
Right.
And by that multimillion-dollar grant we get from the FCC every year.
Right, yeah. That helps to smooth things over.
Yeah, just a bit. Actually, we don't get any grant.
But it's not all outright charity. I mean, you have a lot of products that you sell.
That's right.
Bible teaching products.
Yeah, audio albums.
Yeah, videos.
Videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And people could check them out on the web at our site, KGOV, KGOV.com, or call us up, 1-800-8-N-YART. You can ask for us to order you our list of resources.
We can send that out.
We can send that out.
Definitely.
And if you call up and order the product list, you could ask for a pamphlet, too. We'll send you one of our pamphlets.
Yeah, they're great for stuffing in those pre-addressed envelopes you get in the junk mail.
Yeah, the anti-junk mail missiles.
Yeah.
So anyway, give us a call. Check out our materials.
Or go to kgov.com.
You're invited to tune in to Bob and Yart Live weeknights at 7 right here on KLTT. Bob and Yart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, hosts a conservative talk radio news show. It's fun. Hear the O'Reilly O'Reilly segments. Explore the real difference between right and left wingers. And learn why liberals call for peace while conservatives fight for freedom. So stay tuned to AM 670 KLTT and listen to Bob and Yart Live weeknights at 7.
It's Arnold Free Radio right here on AM 670 KLTT. It's Bob and Yart Live. The number to call is 1-800-836-9278. If you want to participate, Bob, today in Monrovia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that is, but Marines whisked.
Africa.
Monrovia, Africa.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that the Marines are at it in Africa. Mm-hmm. They whisked two American citizens, young girls, out of the hands of a mob of armed rebels.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that
That's pretty
awesome?
Cool.
Yeah, they whisked them out. Now, I just like to mention it when Marines whisk young girls out of rebels' hands.
Into
I just like
safety.
To mention it. Yeah.
And you were a Marine.
And yeah, now this story probably won't get a lot of coverage in the mainstream liberal namby-pamby
because
wimpy
the Marines meme. Did something heroic.
Right, they
something
did something
good.
Heroic.
And like Bill Clinton, typically liberals loathe the military.
Yeah, indeed.
But they loathe the American military,
right.
Not the UN military.
No, the UN, they're okay over there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that this story got some airtime. Mm. And now we should go to the calls.
Calls?
We should go to the
calls.
We
don't have any callers.
I thought we had a caller. No. Maybe I haven't given the number.
We have my mother. Hey,
Does she count as a caller?
My mother's on the line.
I saw the name on the board. I thought we had a caller.
Well, it's my mother in Arvada, Colorado. Mom, speak your mind.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Connie.
I'd like to say hi to the listeners too.
Cool.
You know, Doug, it's always great for you to be on the air. I just had something to share with you guys. And do you have a minute?
Sure.
Yeah.
I had a day today of shopping at a mall, which being here a year and working for Bob, it's been wonderful. Now that my husband's here, it's even better. But once in a while, we get out to go to a mall, which isn't often.
Yeah.
I think it's the first time in a year and 2 months that I ever went to the mall with my grandchildren.
Okay.
They're 20, 17, and 16.
So your grandkids are 20 years old, 17, and 16.
Sean, Nathaniel, and Stephen.
Okay.
Stephen needed sneakers, so we went to the mall.
Sneakers.
Anyway,
makes sense.
As we're shopping around, the views in the mall is just too
despicable.
Much.
They're despicable.
The girls. It's the girls.
Yeah, I've noticed
that
myself.
I just want to cover them up with blankets and towels.
Yeah, well, that's what Jo Scott does.
Yeah, she did.
You know, the famous pro-lifer, when a a girl comes to wherever,
yeah,
you know, even to the picket line or to church or something,
right?
And she's dressed, you know, inappropriately.
Yeah,
Joe walks up to her and says, "Oh no, look how you left the house! You forgot the dress.
Yeah,
here, put on my sweater."
She's so great.
She's,
you know,
great.
But I mean, the belly button show and way down.
Yeah, hey, Connie, don't you think that there should be some kind of legislation about this whole bearing of the midriff? I think it's just getting way out of hand.
Oh, it is.
It's hard to walk through any public place anymore without some little slut.
It's terrible. But then, okay, that's bad.
You know what? Christian fathers are allowing their daughters to dress like Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One. Now, we had somebody told us that they approached a pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And said, you let your kids go to public school. It's not a good thing.
Uh-oh.
And he said, look, they're supposed to be salt and light.
Oh, great.
And this Christian friend of ours said, well, look how your daughter dresses.
Yes.
Like Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And the pastor said, it's not how you dress. It's what's inside.
Oh, yeah. That's not what the 14-year-old boys notice.
Yeah, it's like what's inside, like venereal disease.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah
it's like aborted children. Is that what he means?
Man,
that was a pastor speaking like that.
That was a pastor, right.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, what happened after we got the sneakers, we went looking in a gallery for pictures. And a couple of the grandkids were with me, and we're really thinking of buying these two pictures. And they're like $100 each, framed and all. And these two young girls are taking care of the store. Well, we were deciding, we weren't sure. All of a sudden, my eyes caught a picture quite big. I'd say 3 by 12 or something.
Oh, big.
Of two girls. I looked twice. It was two girls, beautiful girls, in their underwear, like jockey underwear, kissing.
No, we didn't. Did we need to go that? Did we need to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
kissing.
It's just despicable.
I looked. I said, what? I went up to them and said, I want you to tell your manager, we were thinking of buying two pictures. We will never buy one picture in this store.
Good for you, Mom.
We will never buy a picture. She said, oh, we can't. This is corporate. I said, I don't care if it's corporate, if it's incorporate, subcorporate. It's
national,
I don't care what
international.
It is. I want you to tell them we are not shopping in this store.
And you know why? I Mom, that was so great that you told them that. Most Christians don't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we tried, you know.
Well,
no matter where you go, you have to speak up. Otherwise,
don't go. At the checkout counters with the magazines.
Yep.
I always take, like, Home and Garden and put it in front of the other ones, like Glamour.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I cover up. So there's 6 Home and Gardens and one checkout stand. And then they don't sell too well for 4 hours, but tough.
Well, that's all I had to tell you. It's
Thank
very
you, Mother.
Sad.
It's sad, and you're great.
I told them that we should we probably will pick at this place.
Yeah, I have an idea. I have this it's a fleeting through my mind.
What?
When you go to the mall, just carry a big bag and keep a couple of long robes in there, and just hand them to these girls.
Oh, that's
just
great.
Please, could you put something on? Mm. I mean, you're distracting us from our shopping.
Right.
Oh, you guys are great.
Thanks,
I won't
Mother.
Take up any more time, okay?
Appreciate your call.
Take a report from the front line.
And Doug, I don't know where I get it from. I don't know where I get it from. But let's go to Centennial, Colorado. Troy, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good.
I got a little beef with you, maybe.
Yeah.
About something that I heard on your show about a month ago or so.
All right.
And you were talking about the curse of Canaan.
Yes, sir.
And I kind of started to believe your way of thinking.
Good.
But then I went home and I looked it up myself.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of leaning away from what you were saying now.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. Maybe we could pull you back from the precipice.
Well,
we have to tell the audience. So do you want to describe the whole issue to the audience?
No, why don't you do that?
Okay. In Genesis chapter 9, that's where we first find out about the Canaanites. After the flood, Noah got drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was uncovered in his tent.
Yes, he was.
And his son, Ham, saw his father's nakedness.
Saw his father's nakedness, yeah.
And then he went and he told his brothers that he had seen his father's nakedness.
Right.
And they walked in backwards with the blanket and covered their father's nakedness.
Right.
And the story says that because this happened, Canaan was cursed, one of Ham's kids. So Noah cursed Canaan. And two times we find out that Ham is the father of Canaan. The story starts and ends telling us that Ham is the father of Canaan.
And Canaan is cursed.
And Canaan is cursed because his dad apparently saw his grandpa who was drunk naked. And so I've always got sort of a kick out of Christians who say that, you know, and the Canaanites, they were the arch enemies of the Jews throughout the rest of the Bible.
Right, yeah.
Right up until the New Testament when the Canaanite woman came to Jesus and he was inclined to ignore her.
Yeah.
So at any rate, the Canaanites were so evil and they get their start by being cursed by Noah because Canaan's dad saw his drunk grandfather naked. And that just doesn't seem to be a just reason to curse an entire nation of people. And it does. It just seems absurd.
The story struck me as odd time I read it.
And so then as you look in the Bible, you find out that to uncover a man's nakedness is a Jewish figure of speech. And it means, this is what it means. It means to have sex with his wife. That's what that phrase means.
So it's a real civil and polite way to say something that's not so—
That's more vulgar.
Yeah.
The Bible uses euphemisms like Adam knew his wife Eve.
Right.
Right? We know what that means.
Right.
Or to lie with your father's wife, they'll say you uncovered your father's nakedness. So go ahead, Troy.
Okay. Well, you implied that Ham had a sexual relation with his mother.
Yeah, I said that directly.
Okay.
You didn't imply that? You said that.
Yeah.
Okay, said that.
That's what that phrase means. But
well,
ahead.
Now here's where I have the problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm looking in the NASB, and
okay.
In Leviticus, it refers to...
NASB.
Okay.
Actually, the NASB is woodenly literal quite often. So go ahead.
Right, that's why I'm referring to this one.
Yeah.
It says that... to uncover a man's nakedness is to have sex with his wife.
Yeah.
Okay. In Genesis, it says that Ham saw
right.
his father's nakedness. It didn't. It does not say that he uncovered
yeah.
his father's nakedness.
Right. Right. But Troy.
That's different wording.
Troy.
Well, that's splitting hairs.
Troy, you're
well,
so.
Well, but that's
hey,
what
Troy,
this is all about, right?
Hey, Troy.
No, it's not about splitting hairs.
Hey,
actually,
Troy, I don't know how to. I don't know how to do this. I just don't know how to do
okay,
this.
Okay, well, wait a second. I think yeah. I have a solution. Okay?
Yeah.
So, Troy, what's the point of the
well,
story?
Well, let me ask Troy. Troy, are you a nice guy or not a nice guy?
Well, it depends.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer.
If you're a nice guy, we're going to go to a break and come back, and I'm going to try to be really nice and deal with this. So, hold on. You sound nice. Welcome to the live commercial break.
It is live, and it is a
Bob
commercial
and
break.
Live.
Yeah.
Now, during the bumpers, we have staff meetings.
Right. That's right. We plan the show during the breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
that's how we keep it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have fun, but sometimes we miss our cue.
Sometimes.
On the way back. But at any rate, hey, Bob and Yurt Live is a program that our goal is to bring the Bible message to you, to your life, your family. And so that we can all apply what God says to our Christian lives, our family life, our work, national policy, public policy, international foreign affairs, criminal justice, taxation, money matters, economics.
So the Bible is relevant to all those issues.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't really understand that the Bible is critically relevant to criminal justice, critically relevant.
Right. And pretty much to every significant aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
And so that's our goal here, to help people see how crucially vital and relevant the Bible is and how much sense it makes. See, we've been studying the Bible for me now 30 years.
Wow.
Studying the Bible. And I've learned that if you really study it a lot, the whole book makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're superficial about it,
right,
then it tends to be filled with goofy stories that don't make any sense.
That's why a lot of people have a hard time applying the Bible to their life
right.
and politics and things today, because they don't understand the big picture, what you might call the plot.
Yeah, so we offer a manuscript called The Plot or audio tapes on the overview of the whole Bible. Call us and order it, 800-8-NYART.
KGov.com.
You're invited to tune in to Bob and Yard Live weeknights at 7 right here on KLTT.
Bob and Yard, pastor of Denver Bible Church, hosts a conservative talk radio news show.
It's fun. Hear the
O'Reilly
O'Reilly segments. Explore the real difference between right and left wingers.
And learn why liberals call for peace while conservatives fight for freedom.
So stay tuned to AM 670 KLTT and listen to Bob and Yard Live weeknights at 7. You're invited to tune in to Bobby.
Okay, we're not having technical difficulties
no
here
way.
Tonight. It's demons.
Everything's smooth. Wait, Bob, now. Bob,
come out!
Bob, before.
Come out. Get freak from Theology Online to exercise the equipment.
Now, before you cast any demons out of the board, or before you go back to the calls, we got a letter from Stan and Lori down in Payton, Colorado. They put up a sign. They got some land that is right fronts the highway.
Yeah.
They put up this sign. They sent us a picture of it.
Oh.
And it says it says a black day for America.
Ooh.
June 26th, 03, Lawrence versus Texas, legalized sodomy.
Wow, that is neat.
They got a big sign so that all the passing cars.
Yeah, it looks like on a piece of plywood.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful sign too. Legal. Very well done.
Well, good sign etiquette. They didn't try to use long words like gay marriage or transgender.
It's just very direct.
Sodomy is what they legalized.
Legalized sodomy.
That is a great sign. Thanks, Stan and Lori.
Yeah, that is great.
Down in Payton and all their kids. Right. They got a bunch of kids. They're great.
Okay.
Anyway, just wanted to get that in before we go back to Troy and get him straightened out on this whole Ham and Canaan issue.
Okay.
Which we're going to go back to.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to Troy right now.
All right. Yeah, let's pick Troy up here.
Hi, Troy.
Hello.
All right. I have about a dozen verses in the Bible that are relevant to this figure of speech.
Okay. Let me clarify something. I understand what you're saying by the figure of speech.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I agree
and you're saying
with
because,
what you're saying about what it says in Leviticus 18.
You're saying because Leviticus says, do not uncover your father's nakedness, but because Genesis says he saw his father's nakedness,
right,
that therefore some other guy was having sex with Noah's wife.
Well, no, not necessarily. Noah was.
Well, he was too drunk. But anyway, because it wasn't until he sobered up that he realized what had happened.
That's right, yeah.
Right. But see, here's the thing.
But
uncover.
Go ahead. This is painful. Go ahead.
To uncover somebody's nakedness implies an actual physical act that you are doing to somebody.
All right. I have a headache.
To see somebody's nakedness means you're not necessarily being physical.
Okay. Now, here, let me read you one of the dozen or so verses I have.
Okay.
From Habakkuk 2:15.
Habakkuk. Now answer me this, Troy. How many times have you gotten into a biblical debate and somebody whips out a verse from Habakkuk? That doesn't happen very often.
This is the first time.
That's right. So you know that you're dealing with a big-time heavy hitter here.
Okay.
Well, I understand that.
Okay. So Habakkuk is laying into the Jews because they're in rebellion against God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Habakkuk 2:15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now, you think that the Jews were trying to get their neighbors drunk so that they could see him naked? Or so that they could take advantage of their neighbor's wife?
Okay.
I would say that they were trying to get their – it still happens today – They try to get their neighbor drunk so they could flirt with or seduce the neighbor's wife. Maybe the neighbor will sit there laughing at the whole thing.
Sure.
And then in the morning, wake up and be really angry about what happened last night. So when the Bible says, Troy, when we've been studying the Bible and doing these Bible study albums for years now, we have hundreds of Bible studies available to the public. And one of the things we do almost every single study is we point out the figures of speech in the Bible.
Right.
Over and over and over, 1,000 times over. And most Christians don't pay attention to the figures of speech in the Bible. There are tens of thousands of them. Right. And when you do that, when you make it your habit to notice the figures of speech in every verse, because they're in every verse, then you become accustomed. And you could see the figures instantly. They just pop out at you.
Sure.
You know what it means as you read it. You know what it means. And so the fact that whether it says you have uncovered your father's nakedness or you saw your father's nakedness, it's the same figure of speech.
Okay. Now here's another question.
Go ahead.
About the same deal.
Yeah.
You said that Canaan is the bastard child of Ham and his mom.
Yes.
Okay. How come when Noah curses Canaan, he curses him as if he's already been born? Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves.
It doesn't matter. It's the story is written by Moses, who lived centuries later.
But did Noah say that at the time?
No. He didn't know his name at the time. Unless Noah named him at the time. Noah could have named him if he knew his wife was pregnant. But no, if you read through the book of Genesis, it gives you God's name, Yahweh.
Right.
And then in the book of Exodus, it says, Moses says, well, no one knows your name. Tell us your name. That's centuries later. Right. And God says, my name is Yahweh.
Right.
I am that I am.
Right.
And so how could his name have been in Genesis? It's like what you're asking right now. How could Canaan be named before he was born? The story is written centuries later. So they knew God's name and they knew Canaan's name when they wrote the story.
So you're saying it's more of a literary device and not necessarily a chronological?
Well, it's a history, and histories are written in a telescope way.
Right.
You view events in a telescope fashion. They're all jammed up together. And in one sentence, you can get 100 years' worth of history. So this happened. Noah became drunk. And Ham grew up before the flood. He was a filthy pervert. He took advantage of his father's drunkenness and either seduced or raped his mother, impregnated her. Noah woke up, found out what had happened, was furious. When he sees his wife is pregnant, she gives birth to Canaan. He says, cursed is Canaan. And centuries later, Moses is writing down the story, and he's explaining who Canaan's father was. Because even though Noah's wife gave birth to Canaan, Ham is the father of Canaan, which is said repeatedly in that story. And so, Troy, if this is not what that story means, and if there's not a really good reason why the Canaanites were cursed, then what do you think it means?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, when I first listened to you, I tended to agree with you because it made sense.
Yeah, right.
And then when I read it myself and I saw that the wording was different, that's where the question came in.
Right.
I never said I didn't agree with you. I just said I had to be swayed.
Okay, I understand.
You know
and
what
Troy,
I think has happened here, Bob?
Yeah, what?
As has happened to many, many folks and even myself, is often you'll take what the NASB commentary or dictionary says and you'll take that as gospel instead of comparing
we
it
do.
To
the actually, you know, the
so
NASB
verses.
Absolutely doesn't say anything
yeah, it just, it
about
just,
that incident,
right.
really.
No.
I mean,
no, there's no note there, right? It
no.
just translates it. And the translation you read sounds very accurate.
Right.
Consider in 1 Samuel chapter 20, Saul was angry at Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman.
Whoa.
Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Now, what does that mean?
Okay.
Does that mean that someone raped Jonathan's mother? No, it doesn't. In that case, your mother's nakedness is a reference to reproduction. You have chosen the son of Jesse. Saul hated King David, and Jesse's was David's father. And Saul said to Jonathan, you've chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and the shame of your mother's nakedness. In other words, you're ashamed to your mother. You came from your mother's womb. You're part of her reproduction, and you're ashamed to yourself and ashamed to your mother's nakedness. So when you become really familiar with biblical terms, then there, it's very comfortable, and you understand what the author meant the moment you encounter it. Let me give you an example. In Job says this after everything falls apart for him. And he says, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there.
Hmm.
Now, that's Troy,
kind of odd.
You might, you know, the average Christian has never even considered that verse. But what is Job talking about? Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there.
I get the impression that he came into this world with nothing, and he's going to leave it with nothing.
But why is he going to return to his mother's womb?
You know, I don't know.
Right? Now, that's a figure of speech. Well, what does that mean? Well, the mother's womb was a figure of speech referring to the lowest parts of the earth, the deep, dark, mysterious parts of the earth. God made us from the dust of the earth. So in Psalm 139, when it says that the unborn child is woven in the lowest parts of the earth, his joints and sinews come together, his skeleton, his body is formed. And it says he's being formed in the lowest parts of the earth. That's a figure of speech for the mother's womb, because we were made from the dust of the earth. And it's a mystery when a child is in the mother's womb developing, especially back then before ultrasound, before 3D ultrasound, it was really a mystery. What's going on in there? Might as well have been happening in the lowest parts of the earth for all they knew. So anyway, in our Bible studies, we're big on figures of speech. We love them. And the more you study them, you become accustomed to them, and you see that they're not used in the same exact way every time.
Hey, give me that first Bible verse again.
Habakkuk.
That obscure one.
Yeah. Habakkuk, whom we're all going to meet in heaven. And
that's right.
He's going to want to know what we thought of his book.
That's right.
Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15.
Okay.
Troy,
that'll be good fodder for the next Bible study then.
Yeah, and thank you for calling, and thank you for letting us know you were a good guy before we got like ridiculous.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate
thank you, Troy,
your call.
That was cool, Bob.
What a nice call. Nice guy.
I can't tell you how that story mystified me. It didn't mystify me. I passed it on, and I figured I just can't understand.
It's ridiculous the way – but the way we Christians study the Bible, we assume that most of it is ridiculous.
I think that's true, yeah. People have a tendency.
We don't expect that the Bible will make sense. We really don't. And so we blow it off. And the little notes at the bottom, we believe those.
Or at least we reference those.
Yeah, but the actual text, we tend to blow off.
Yeah.
If Jesus says, who has the greater sin? And he says that Annas and
Caiaphas have
and Judas have the greater sin. The Christian says, oh, there's no greater sin.
All sin's the same.
Yeah. And Jesus said, well, Judas had the greater sin. Oh, Jesus, sorry, you haven't read the notes. The note says all sins are equal.
Check those liner notes.
And when the Christian goes by the cliche, you can't judge anyone at any time under any circumstance. And Jesus commands us to judge with righteous judgment, as he said in John 7:24, in many other places.
Yeah.
Well, no, Jesus, you haven't read the notes. You have to forgive everyone at all times in every circumstance. And Jesus says, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Jesus, you haven't read the notes. Doug, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bob.
This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.